song, we'll get him warmed up again. Amen.
I'm gonna trade my earthly home for heaven, my infant. Christ left to bear a mansion for children in the air. I join him in that land where tears, no sorrows can be found. When I see my mansion, I shall roll and cry.
Talking about your man.
For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting.
Yes, sir.
And his truth endureth to all generations.
It's all right.
I'm thankful on this evening for God's goodness. I'm thankful for God's mercy. I'm thankful for God's truth. But most of all, I'm thankful for the Church of Christ.
All right.
I'm appreciative of this opportunity to be here on the 35th state lectureship, ugly feet and all. I'm just appreciative to be here.
That's all right.
Over the years, I've seen many great orators mount this here pulpit for state lectureship, and I certainly consider it an honor on this day to be here in your presence. I want to, before I begin, and I have 35 minutes. I'm not going to take up much of my 35 because I need all 33 that I have left. But I want to take a moment to thank the Elmwood Park congregation for being here tonight. I'm going to ask them to stand. Certainly, I'm proud of you and appreciative of your support.
All right.
God bless you. God bless you. Appreciative of your support to the church in this area. The subject that the text that has been given to me is from Galatians chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 7. It says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I want to address the subject. Troublesome times are here. In the very beginning of the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul raises the issue of the threatening apostasy that is taking place in the churches of Galatia. Notice here, he doesn't say church, but he addresses it into all of the churches in Galatia. When we look around, we realize that there's trouble all around us. We have trouble in our homes. We have trouble in our schools. We have trouble in our cities. We have trouble in our state. I could spend all evening talking about our schools, talking about our cities, talking about our homes, but this evening I really want to talk about what Paul talked about when he dealt with the spiritual trouble that's in the church. You know, if you come here tonight, to be honest with yourselves, the truth is we have trouble right here in our churches today. Just as Paul was perplexed, I too find myself perplexed with the state of the churches or congregations in this area today. Because you see, I remember how it used to be, Brother Crocker.
Yes, sir.
I've been in the church some 27 years, and I remember a time when we would have a state lectureship and we would have to put chairs down the aisles. I know how it used to be. And I really wonder what has happened to us over the years. We have found ourselves in trouble. We have found ourselves, we divided. We have found ourselves decreasing in membership instead of increasing in membership. I remember the good old days, and I look back sometimes, and I ask myself why.
Yes, sir. All right. That's all right.
Paul was shocked. He was shocked that those who had been converted by his preaching were easily being removed from the gospel by those who would trouble them and pervert the gospel of Christ. You see that word, trouble?
Well, yes, sir.
It comes from a word which simply means to cause inward commotion. It means to take away one's calmness of mind. It means to agitate, to put one's mind in distress. And pervert means to turn around. So in other words, what Paul is saying, he's saying, I'm amazed that you have quickly allowed folk to take away your calmness of mind.
Yes, sir. That's all right.
He's addressing the letter to the churches in Galatia. Not the North Side Church, not the West Side Church, but all of the churches in Galatia.
Yes, sir.
What Paul is really saying, he's saying that I'm amazed that some of you are out of your mind.
Yes, sir. Great job. Yes, sir.
You are out of your mind for allowing someone to come in and turn you away from the gospel in which you know is right. You're simply out of your mind. If I could add a little more to it, you're crazy. Paul puts the icing on the cake. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. In other words, Paul says, you're a fool. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you? Paul didn't tiptoe around the subject. He says, not only are you crazy, you're a show enough fool to walk away from the gospel of Christ. I ask myself, what's wrong with some of us? If Paul was talking to the churches in Michigan, if Paul was talking to the churches in Detroit, would he say to us, you're sure enough fool to walk away from the gospel that you have been taught?
That's all right.
Paul was amazed at the apostasy that took place. The truth of the gospel had been clearly set forth before the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, he goes on to call them fools. But Paul in Galatians chapter 2, around verse 4, he begins to address the crux of the problem. He says, then for 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. In other words, the trouble is that there were some false teachers coming in and saying, in order to be justified, you have to be circumcised. Paul is letting you know you're no longer under that bondage.
Yes.
I can't deal with all the troubles in the church in one night. I don't want to deal with all the troubles in the church tonight. You know as well as I do what the problem is. You know as well as I do where the trouble's coming from. So I don't want to spend so much time talking about the trouble. I want to spend some time this evening talking about the solution to the problem. The question this evening is not what is the trouble, but what do we need to do in times of trouble? What we need to do is what Israel needed. What we need is what the churches in Galatians needed. The easy answer is simply this: in times of trouble, we need Jesus. Jesus, he's better than Allstate. We're in good hands. We need Jesus because he's better than State Farm. He's like a good neighbor. He's always there. We need Jesus because he's the bread when we're hungry, water when we're thirsty. He's our rock and our salvation. Grandma used to say he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. But let me add a little more to that. What we really need in times of trouble, we need real men to stand up. What do we need in times of trouble? We need preachers that will stand in the gap. What the church needs now is some true to the book gospel preachers. That's what we need right here, right now. What do we need when we're troubled and out of our mind? What do we need when we're tossed to and fro? We need a good man. Sisters, I know when you hear that, you get excited and say you're looking for a good man too. But I want you to know that God is looking for some good men to stand in the gap. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. I don't want you to get too excited, sisters. He's looking for some men. God is looking for some leaders that will stand up, stand right, stand in the gap. Am I right about it? God is not looking for some weak-kneed, jelly-backed men to lead his church. God, in times of trouble, is looking for some strong men to be strong leaders. Amen, lights. I know what I'm talking about. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Isn't it interesting that God needed a man to stand in the gap and God couldn't even find one? Israel's in a desperate situation and God could not even find a good man. He looked to and fro and sooner or later he was able to find Ezekiel. Isn't it sad today? I ask the question, can we find some good men in the church today that's willing to take a stand for what's right? Or are we searching around trying to find us one? Yes, sir. I'm telling you what we need in times of trouble. Men are hiding in the church. Men are hiding from God. The strength of any congregation is in its men. When men are weak, the congregation can become weak. When leaders are weak, the congregation can become weak. When men are strong, the congregation can be strong. I'm talking about strong in the faith, strong in the doctrine, strong in their examples. I know what we need. The churches today need some men like Paul. Please don't tell me you're getting, okay. I thought he was coming up with the 5-minute mark. Amen. Churches today need some men like Paul. We need a man, not a mouse. We need preachers like Jeremiah. We need preachers like Ezekiel. We need men like Noah. We need men like John the Baptist. We need preachers who are not afraid of the people. What do we need when we're out of our mind? We need preachers to confront false teachers. We need elders who are willing to take a stand. We need elders who are willing to confront sin in the church house and in your house. That's what we need in times of trouble. What do we need when we're out of our mind? We need real preachers. We need real elders to stand up and be right for Jesus. I like the way Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men." I like the way the NIV puts it. He says, "Be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong." Yes, sir. Can I say that again? Yes, sir. NIV says, "Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong." What is a man? A man is strong. You see, God is not looking for men who are leaders. God is not looking for girly men. Can I say that? You see, God is looking for a show enough. Brother Crocker, what I really want to say, God is looking for a show enough T-bone type of man. A man that's not afraid of the people. A man that's not afraid of what the people might do, has more worried about what God may say. If the man does not stand up as a preacher and an elder for what's right, guess what we need? We need some strong back men in the church. I don't mean you any harm. But I tell you what. We need leaders that will stand up for the old time gospel. We need leaders that will stand up for the one true church that Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. What do we need? We are in trouble when elders and preachers won't take a stand. We are in trouble when elders and preachers won't stand up for what is right. We need real leaders to stand up for righteousness, stand up for baptism, stand up for unity, stand up for Jesus. Watch 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. You see, and this is not an easy job. It's not easy to lead God's people. Because if the truth be told, some of y'all sing the song, I'm a hard-fighting soldier, while sitting in the pew. Some of you are hard-fighting, and some of you are just hard-headed. Don't get me wrong. Some of y'all make life tough for some elders and preachers, but even in the midst of that, we got to stand for what's right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. You see, there's something about us that we want folk to say what we want to hear. Every sermon ain't. Can I say ain't? I know that's just not proper English, me being an English teacher. It's just good preacher. You know, every sermon ain't meant to make you feel good. Sometimes we have to say some stuff that might cut to the bone because you need to get right. You see, I don't know what it is that we always want preachers to get up and talk some pretty sermons. What's wrong with some ugly feet sermons every now and then? When the season is right, we must preach the word. When the season is not right, we must preach the word. We have too many in the brotherhood that like to tippy toe through the tulips. We have too many in the brotherhood that like to tippy toe through the tulips. You know, I'm not real good about tippy toeing through the tulips. Sometimes you just have to walk on in and say what needs to be said. Yes, brother preacher, but aren't we supposed to preach in love? Yes, Ephesians 4 or 5, speak the truth in love, but the truth must be told. Paul, when dealing with the Galatians, he didn't tippy toe through the tubes. He told them, you are a stone fool. Now, you mad at Paul? So why you get mad at us? I know we like to sing, I told you, hard fighting soldier. But in times of trouble, we cannot preach philosophy, but Jesus. In times of trouble, we cannot preach poetry, but Jesus. In times of trouble, we cannot preach psychology, but Jesus. In times of trouble, we cannot preach sociology, but Jesus. Watch now Proverbs 22:8. Here's our problem. We have folk in the brotherhood that are trying to remove the ancient landmark. Watch Proverbs 22:8. It says, remove not the ancient landmarks which the fathers have set. If the truth be told, we have some that feel as if what God had written, what God had created is no longer any good. So they're going around trying to rewrite what God has made right. Yes, sir. It's all right. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Said, my people are destroyed for what? Their lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge will kill us.
Yes, sir.
When we don't know false teaching, because we don't study God's word, we are in trouble every time. And if the truth be told, we have allowed some smooth-talking, good-looking preachers to call some of us to go away because they look good. But what are they saying? They sound good, but what are they saying? I want to remind you, go back to Deuteronomy 32:7.
Jeremiah 6:16. I want to remind you of the days, some old school memories.
All right.
Have you ever pulled out your photo album and looked at some pictures from years back? As you look back on the years, you're reminded of the good old days.
Well,
do you remember the good old days in this area? Do you remember how it used to be? Watch Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. Every now and then, we need to be reminded of how our past used to be. It says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. I remember a time, preachers, when preachers were together. I remember a time, elders, when elders were together. I remember a time when churches were together. Then he reminds him in Deuteronomy through the years, he reminds them of how good God had been to them, how he brought them a mighty long way, delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh, parted the Red Sea, placed them in the land of Canaan. God has been good, was good to Israel. What is our problem? God has been good to us. Then if God has been good to us, why in the world do we find ourselves in the state we're in right now? What do we need in troublesome times? We need to go back to the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Right. Am I right about it?
Right.
Back to the Bible and ask for the old path. Seek the old ways. Will the real leaders stand up when marriages are rocking and rolling?
All right.
Will the real leaders stand up when homes are hollering for help? Will the real leaders stand up when children are running wild? Will the real leaders stand up when liberal brethren are changing the hope of the gospel? I've heard it said, if a man doesn't stand for something, he'll fall for anything.
Right.
What have we fallen for over the past couple of years? Better yet, what have we stood for over the past couple of years? How many of our congregations are falling because preachers won't stand, elders won't stand, members won't stand? Preachers and elders ought to live right, walk right, talk right, act right, preach right, lead right, so that members can see peace, patience, persistence, and purity. I know what we need in times of trouble. We need some strong men. We need some strong leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in words and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. You see, a man of God, be it an elder or a preacher and even a deacon, he is supposed to live his life in a way that he is a good example.
Amen.
I told Elmwood, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I told Elmwood, we were talking in Bible class the other day about 1 Corinthians 5:1, how a man had another man's wife. I told Elmwood, let me just tell you, this was an example. I have to clear that up. But the question was asked, what do we do? I told him, I said, if you found me with another man's wife and you as a congregation allowed it, shame on you. I don't get special privileges because I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian first, and I deserve to be disciplined based on God's standards. I don't get a pass to do whatever I want because I'm a preacher. And shame on us when we allow that to happen. Shame on us as elders and preachers when we allow members who are not living right and doing right, and we turn our eyes because they happen to be putting a lot of money in the plate. Shame on us. I want to know, what are we standing on? Are you willing to stand with God? Are you willing to stand in his ways? Are you willing to stand in the teaching of the gospel of Christ? Are you willing to stand? Where are we, Detroit? Where are we, Flint? Where are we, Pontiac? Where are we, Michigan? Where are we willing? Are we willing, rather, to walk with God? Where are you right now? Are you united in faith? Are we united in commitment? Are we united in our walk? I remember the good old days.
Well, it's all right. All right.
We need to go back to the Bible. What we must do is stand, seek, ask, and walk. Preacher can't preach the things that are going to be pleasing unto your ears or tickle your fancy. Preachers can't always preach the stuff that's going to win them favor with the people. Every sermon, I told you, can't be a pretty sermon. We must do the work as God has called us to do, and that is to preach. Some may say, preacher, you're going to preach yourself out of a job. Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about preaching myself out of heaven. Better than that, I'm more worried about preaching myself into hell by not telling you the truth. Some may say, preacher, you're going to preach yourself out the club. I'm not worried about being in the club. I'm more worried about preaching myself out of Christ. What are we standing on? If the Bible is the best book in the world, I've heard it said, this book is the milk that nourishes, water that refreshes, light that guides, honey that sweetens. This book is the hammer that shatters, the sword that cuts, and the seed that grows. No tradition of man can choke it, no infidel can corrupt it, no atheist can destroy it, and no power of man can defeat it. Some of us have been removing the landmarks. Right here.
That's all right.
I might as well tell the truth and shame the devil. Some of us right here in this here city, right here, right now, have been removing the landmarks, and we act like it ain't no big deal.
Yes, sir. All right.
But what we need is we need some strong men, some strong preachers who are willing to follow their elders and their preachers to say, this is what God says on the matter, and that settles it. It's not always about what makes you feel right. It's about what's right with God. And some of you say, well, it's no big deal. We can do whatever we want to do. Let me show you what happens when the influence of a bad leader gets a hold of the people. You remember Jeroboam, son of Nebat? Jeroboam had caused Israel to sin. He changed the object of the worship. He built two golden calves, and because of Jeroboam's influence, the people of his generation who were under his rule were led astray. They were led astray, and they had violated God's commandments. The majority of the kings of Israel that came after him continued to be out of step with God. So because of Jeroboam's influence, for some 230 years, they caused Israel to sin.
That's right.
Don't tell me one man. Don't tell me two men. Don't tell me three men cannot corrupt a body of people. Don't tell me, you see, if we don't get right and start teaching our young people about what is right in the church, we are going to lose a generation of folk who won't know God the way we knew them. In this new age, some people want a new program for the church, a new type of worship, a new plan of salvation. Some people want everything new. I thank God for the church that it may be old, but old things are still new. It's been around for 2,000 years, but it's still new. In troublesome times, we need to be developing our young men to be strong, strong in the church and strong in the home. They need to see strong leadership in the church. Can I say that again? You see, our young men need to see elders. They need to see preachers that are willing to stand up and do right for Jesus. If they don't see it in us, I guarantee you, they won't become if they don't see it in us. We need to be developing our young men. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Things which you have heard of me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We need men in the church in troublesome times that are strong in grace, that are strong in truth, that are strong in faith, The people need to see strong preachers. They need to see strong elders. They need to see some godly men. They need to see some godly examples. The solution is simple in Galatians 5:1. Paul says, stand fast. In other words, it means stand firm. In other words, keep on standing, elders. Keep on standing, preachers. Elders need to stand firm. Preachers need to stand firm. Members need to stand firm. Stand firm in what? Stand firm in the gospel. Keep on standing for the old time gospel. If I were a singer, I would sing, give me that old time gospel. Give me that old time gospel. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good, then it's good enough for me. It's all right. It's all right. We need some preachers that are willing to say, let's go back to the old time gospel. And not just go back, let's stand firm in what is right with God. What must we do? We must look to Jesus. We need some sisters that won't be moved. We need some brothers that won't be moved. We need some young folk that won't be moved. We need all of us to stand firm and says, I shall not be moved regardless of what. I got 3 minutes. We need folk who will say, I shall not be moved away from the hope of the gospel by smooth words and enticing expressions. We need folk who say, I shall not be moved away from the hope of the gospel by worldly wisdom. I shall not be moved away from the hope of the gospel by primping preachers and false teachers. I shall not be moved away from the hope of the gospel by man's modern manipulation. I shall not be moved away from the hope of the gospel by religious hypocrisies and congregational short-sightedness. I will stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We will not serve the gods of your worship and the golden image which thou hast set up. We need people like Joshua that will say, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. We need folk that will stand like Peter and say, we ought to obey God rather than men. We need folk who will stay in the ship of Zion. Yes, sir. That's all right. Oh yes, that ship may rock. And brother, just stand up when my 2 minutes are up. That ship may rock. That ship may roll. But I guarantee you, if we're willing to stand in that ship, God will bless us in the long run. No matter who's climbing on top of the ship and trying to pull you out, stay in that ship, because that's where salvation is. That ship, I don't have time to work on it. That ship I'm talking about is the Church of Christ. What do we need in times of trouble? Oh, we need all of us to walk out of here, right here, right now, saying that I don't care what other folks say, we are going to stand and stay with Jesus. I don't care what other folk do. I told Elmwood Park, I don't care if the rest of the folk hang from the chandeliers, we ain't doing it. And I dare you to come up there and try. Amen. I'll take a stand. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I'm just, I told you we need some strong men. Don't misinterpret confidence for arrogant. I'm not arrogant. I'm confident that Jesus' word can handle whatever situation. And we as elders and we as preachers and we as members ought to stand up and say, whatever the situation is, I know God has the answer to it, and I shall not be moved.
Sounds all right.
Church, I remember. I just remember how it used to be. Remember John R. Flowers? Remember Arthur Williams? I remember Brother Trone.
All right.
Many other great preachers that came through these doors and came through this area and taught sound gospel. And my question is, what in the world has happened to us?
That's all right.
That we have been bewitched, we have been fooled, and we have been troubled by false doctrine. Brother, I'm talking because you haven't stood. Okay. Hey, it's his fault. May God bless you. May God keep you.